Welcome, everybody, back to Entertain Matt. I am your host, Matthew Truelove, otherwise known as Magnificent Matt. Welcome back to another episode. This is episode 3 of Entertain Matt. Now, I must apologize, first off, if I sound a little bit flustered, it's because, to all the gaming fans out there, I have just started playing Skyrim, number 5. And it is a fantastic game. I am thoroughly enjoying it. And I finally went to GameStop. To tell you a quick story about myself, I went to GameStop today, and I went inside the store, not really expecting to buy anything, considering games, like I've said before, when they're $60, it's ridiculous. I mean, $60, and with tax and everything, it ends up being about $70. So I go out there to GameStop, not really looking forward to it, because, you know, I just kind of look at their games, and I'm like, man, I wish I could afford this, I wish I could afford that. But anyway, I go to the PS3 section, because if I can't hardly buy a $70 game, then I don't know how in the world I'm ever going to be able to afford a $400 system. But anyway, I look at the games, and then I start looking at the PS3 games. I don't look at the pre-owned. I don't trust pre-owned stuff. I don't really like to buy used things. The only used things I like to buy is when I go to Hastings and I buy used DVDs. And even that is a risk, but hey, it's only like $3 or $4. So, I mean, it's not much of a risk. But anyways, to stay with the story, I go down, to GameStop, and I look through the new games, and I'm like, this can't be real. I start looking at almost every single price tag, and the highest the price ever got was $35. I think there were a couple of $40 ones. I'm not necessarily sure. I can't exactly remember. But I think that there was only one $40 one, if there ever was one. But I remember the game Murdered Soul Suspects. Now, I haven't heard anything about that game. I haven't heard any bad reviews. I haven't heard any good reviews. I've kind of just heard nothing. And that's not usually a good thing when it comes to video games nowadays, when you hear absolutely nothing about it. But I've been hearing about the Skyrim game for a long time, and it was only $20. Now, it is 3 years old, and 3 years in the gaming industry is a long, long time. I just hit my mic. I apologize for that. But yeah, the $20 is not that bad for anything, you know? I mean, $20 nowadays has kind of turned into the normal price for entertainment stuff, you know? You want to go and buy a brand new movie that just got out of the theater, it's $20 to $25. And if you get Blu-ray, if you're an expensive person, Blu-ray, oh my gosh, that stuff is just so expensive. I have seen one Blu-ray movie where it was on Blu-ray, and it was very pretty. I will have to say it was very beautiful. The quality was a lot better. I know it has that anti-scratch stuff or whatever, or something like that. But $30 for a movie is pretty freaking ridiculous. I mean, it has to be like a spectacular movie with an amazing action sequence, whether it's a fight scene or a shooting scene, in order for me to pay $30 for it. But, so $20 for a game, I was amazed. I mean, literally, I just like stood there forever. There was one lady working there. We live in a small town. Here in Central Texas, although it is growing way too much for my benefit. I miss the good old days when there wasn't that many people inside this small town. Because, you know, you miss those days, you know? I remember I could drive around here at 11 o'clock in the morning, which I would usually do, 10 or 11 o'clock, and there would be nobody out. Like, literally, there was nobody around. Now they've built a Super Walmart and a Super HEB right across the street, and it's just crowded beyond belief. But anyway, to get back to the normal story, I bought the Skyrim and Saints Row 4. And the only reason I bought Saints Row 4 is because the third one was so hilarious. Because whoever made the third Saints Row, and I'm talking to them right now, if you're listening to this by some miracle, I mean, I absolutely love you to death, because whoever made that game was obviously a huge wrestling fan. I mean, that somebody, because when you can go up to random people on the street, throw them high in the air, and then land them on the ground, and then do an elbow drop, you know that somebody's a wrestling fan. And then one of the main bad guys in the film is a professional wrestler. So it's pretty freaking hilarious. You're like in a wrestling ring and all that. It was great. I really enjoyed it. But so $20 for both games, so it ended up being about $40, which, I mean, compared to $70 for one game, and I got $40 for two brand new ones, that seemed pretty good. I mean, it's a win-win situation, ladies and gentlemen. So I've had a good day. But my luck did change when I did play Skyrim for like 2 hours. I played it for over 2 hours, like 2.5 hours. And for some reason, I would go to start and I'd try to save it, and it wouldn't let me save. It wouldn't let me save, wouldn't let me load, wouldn't let me do anything for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know if I didn't download it right or what. I don't know what the deal was. But for some reason, it wouldn't let me save. So I quit the game. I was like, huh. So I quit the game, and then all of a sudden, I turn it back on, like, immediately just to see, because it would drive me nuts if I didn't know for sure. But I went there, and immediately, I started all over. So that was really... that's why I'm flustered, is because of all of that wonderful material I accomplished. I got the Golden Claw done, went through all that, discovered the first mine. I can't even remember the name of the mine, but I played it back. I mean, it's amazing when you play the game for the first time, it takes you like 30 minutes to accomplish what you can accomplish in like 10 minutes the second time. I mean, that may just be me. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not me. I don't know. Maybe it's everybody. But that's what happens to me when I play. So I was able to get back to the mine. When I play it again later tonight, I got to give my system a rest, because it was on for like 3 hours. And it was on for like 3 hours because I was very ticked off that it didn't save. It wouldn't let me save. It said auto-saved, but it wouldn't let me save. So it made no sense. I don't know if it was just a glitch or whatever, but it really ticked me off, and it still ticks me off, but I had to do this show. And I'll be able to get some aggression out during the course of this show, I guess, talking about some subjects here. I must apologize again, not just because I sound a little bit flustered if I do, but also because I'm not going to talk about WrestleMania 30 this episode, because Battleground, there's a lot of discussion going around about Battleground, and we're heading into Monday Night Raw. I don't know when this episode will drop, but we do have Monday Night Raw coming up, so tonight, so considering this is Monday night, so my next episode, I will talk about WrestleMania 30, the problems and the good things about WrestleMania 30, and I'll talk about Monday Night Raw and the direction that they go in, because right now we're going to start the build up to SummerSlam, and I'm going to go ahead and predict what I think is going to happen at SummerSlam. But to quickly end the Skyrim discussion, unless you play Skyrim, you have no idea how much you can accomplish in a video game in 2 hours. It's unbelievable. I accomplished so much. I was so leveled up. I had my guy created, and then when it crashed, or it didn't crash, but I mean, I wanted to crash into a wall when I found out it didn't save, so it really, it just aggravates me beyond belief. So I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but anyway, that's the end of that discussion. I'll get over it. I'm sure I'll probably get past that point later tonight. But on to my SummerSlam prediction. My prediction for SummerSlam right now is I see Cena and Brock going one-on-one, because you know Brock Lesnar's coming back for SummerSlam. It's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, with a guy who has very limited dates. Swig of water. For a guy who has very limited dates, I mean, they're obviously going to put him on the show. You know, he is a huge attraction. And really, right now, WWE kind of needs him. WWE needs something, because with Daniel Bryan gone, and, with him injured, with CM Punk leaving have left the company, and I can't believe it's been 6 months, But it's amazing to me. So with Daniel Bryan gone, CM Punk gone, Christian injured, Sheamus in a lackluster role, we got, let's see, Big Show and Mark Henry aren't even being used, Great Khali, for some strange reason, is still around. I don't know, just, I don't know. I mean, right now is, you know, WWE's not necessarily hot right now. And, I hate to say that. I don't mean to complain about the product, but I don't know. Just right now, it just seems so stale. Oh, with the demise of the Shield, yeah. With the Shield gone, I mean, that leaves such a gap. And the fact that the only two tag teams that they're even using is the Usos and the Wyatts, which I will talk about their match that stole the show here in just a moment. But yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of missing talent right now. The locker room is so thin. This is probably the thinnest I've ever seen the locker room in the whole career and time of WWE. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe there was a thinner time, but man, I certainly don't remember one. I mean, you've got so few guys. When back in the day, there were so many. And it's so sad. I think the locker room is about half of what it used to be. You know, just 10 years ago. Maybe even a third. I'm not sure. But it's really sad because, you know, that, I mean, it just depreciates the talent. You have to overuse them. You know, I wish they had enough talent where people can be used on Raw and then some people can be used on SmackDown. I enjoyed that, but I'm glad they quit that because that was pointless when it got to the point that Randy Orton was on Raw and SmackDown and Daniel Bryan was on Raw and SmackDown and Cena was on Raw and SmackDown and so on and so forth. Yeah, it was. So with the brand extension gone, I don't see SmackDown really making it another 10 years. I really and truly don't. SmackDown is a B-rated show. It is one of their, you know, is their second biggest show, but with them promoting the network, they did just sign the TV deal. I will say that. They did just sign a long TV deal that apparently Vince lost a lot of money on. I don't understand the stock system, otherwise it'd be a millionaire. But, yeah, it was a very weird thing to see that. So, I don't know. One of these days we might figure something out. But I see SmackDown just going strictly on the network here in maybe 5 or 10 years or whenever that contract expires. Even before, maybe they'll figure something out. Because I just don't see SmackDown surviving on Sci-Fi for much longer. It is a very watched show, but absolutely nothing happens on it. You know, no significant event happens on it. They hardly ever talk about it. They show highlights every once in a while. But other than that, absolutely nothing happens on SmackDown. I enjoy SmackDown. I thoroughly enjoy it sometimes. I have seen absolutely crappy SmackDowns. When the main event of a SmackDown a while back was Damian Sandow versus Alberto Del Rio, you know you have a problem. And nothing against both of them. But I mean, seriously. I mean, you couldn't pull a Sheamus or anybody out there to put on the main event? I mean, seriously. But, you know, I mean, that was back when Damien was being used a lot better than what he is now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get on to Battleground 2014 to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly, if I may use that term, of Battleground. My overall impression of the show was that it was good, but it was far from great. I mean, it was one of those shows I actually forgot about it. I had actually forgotten that it was tonight, or that it was last night, until I went to WWE's website, like a little mark, and found out that it's tonight. So that's never a good sign. I mean, it might have been just me because I really have not really been into much of the storylines going on. I'm mostly just waiting for SummerSlam like all the other fans. And, you know, that's just part of it. I knew going in that Battleground was going to be a B-rated pay-per-view with the intent of just really promoting SummerSlam. Basically, Battleground was like a specialized Raw to promote SummerSlam. And that's the feeling that I had watching it. And that's good, kind of bad. I mean, I'm going to go over match by match here, but overall, it was a decent pay-per-view. For the people out there saying that it was an absolute train wreck, it wasn't a train wreck. There was nothing. It was just a B-rated pay-per-view, and it was a good B-rated pay-per-view. Was if it you consider it an A, it wasn't an A. It was certainly a B. It was not the best pay-per-view of the year by far. It was a decent pay-per-view. But other than that, there's really not much else to say about the overall view. So let's go on. I was making notes during the matches to do for the show, entertain Matt. Thank you for downloading and enjoying. Or at least I hope you're enjoying it. And let's just go on. I really hope you're enjoying the show. I understand that I'm not the most professional, best podcaster out there, but for all you fans out there, all you true lovers out there, as I like to call them, I thoroughly enjoy you. Comment, subscribe, do whatever you want to, or do nothing at all and just enjoy the show. All right, so the pre-show I'm not really going to talk about because, Fandango situation. Fandango, otherwise known as Johnny Curtis, deserves a lot better of a gimmick than what he has right now. Now, he did do the dance. He has done the dancey gimmick for a while. I think with him dropping, or really Summer Rae and Layla dropping him, I think it's time for him to explore other routes. I think the character has gotten over as far as that character is going to go. I think he needs to go to the big man, the old man, and tell him, hey, let's try something else. I mean, really, I just like to see Johnny just do a normal wrestler. I know in today's world, in the wrestling business, you have to do everything you can to stand out. But I don't know. I would like to see Johnny Curtis do something else other than Fandango. Because it really is, he's a bad jobber. He doesn't need to be a jobber. And I'm not saying a bad jobber is in he can't do the job. No, he puts on great matches. And if you want to see Fandango at his best, YouTube CM Punk versus Johnny Curtis, or Fandango, my apologies. CM Punk versus Fandango on YouTube, it was on a SmackDown, but Fandango absolutely sold the Punk like I've never seen hardly anybody sell, except for Dolph Ziggler on every single night. And yes, I will get to the Dolph Ziggler situation here before long and my hurt feelings over it. But the pre-show was nothing special. You know, Fandango lost to Adam Rose, who really is... I mean, Adam Rose's character right now is just not getting that over. And they're not really using him a whole lot. I don't know if somebody in the back's not over with it or if the people aren't getting over with it. I don't know. Adam Rose is a really small guy. I mean, he could probably whoop me 10,000 times, but for a wrestler, he's very skinny. He used to be the Hunter guy on NXT. Oh, what was his name? I can't think of his name. He had a hunting gimmick, and he looked so much bigger with that. And I don't know. He just looked like he really shrunk down between the hunting gimmick and the party gimmick. I don't know. He did great with both of them, and I wish him nothing but the best. And I do hope Fandango gets better, a better character at least, as the years come on. So the pre-show was what it was. Cameron and Naomi fought, and Cameron walked out, so that wasn't really anything special. I wasn't really looking forward to that match anyway. Naomi is a very talented wrestler, a very talented athlete, and so hopefully she'll get a shot at the title again, or Natalya, or somebody. The Divas division is really stepping up. I have to say, the Divas division is really looking good, with Charlotte and NXT, and Sasha Banks, and Bayley. And then coming up to WWE, AJ, Paige, the AJ Lee and Paige rivalry, I think will eventually result in a new Trish Stratus and Trish Stratus and Lita rivalry. I think that has that kind of proportions, excuse me. So let's go move on to the actual show. We open up the night with, without a doubt, the match of the night. There is no doubt in my mind, this match, I would give a 4.5 star out of 5. This match was absolutely incredible. You know, screw it, I'll give it a 5 out of 5. It was a near perfect tag team match. This tag team match is what tag team matches should be. This is what a true tag team match is supposed to be. We had 2 out of 3 falls. The Usos putting their tag team titles on the line against Luke Harper and Eric Rowan of the Wyatt family. And what a phenomenal match. Oh, that thing had me on the edge of my seat in the last half. The first fall was when Jimmy or Jay came in, and all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, he was in a hot tag, and he came in, and what did Luke Harper do? He dropped him with a big boot. 1, 2, and 3, first fall goes to the Wyatt family. I mean, what a shockeroo there. I couldn't believe it. And that was crazy. It didn't really make the Usos look weak as much as it made the Luke Harper look strong. And that's important. Because Luke Harper, he's got a little something in him. He's got that special ability in him. Eric Rowan isn't standing out so much, but the two of them together are really well. But Luke Harper, I'll tell you what, he is something else. He is a very talented big man. And what a phenomenal match. And then the Usos, I forget, I think, yeah, they rolled him up. Even though, when you look at the replay, the referee counted 3 after Luke Harper had actually gotten his shoulder up because, you know, that's a big guy that you have to roll up. And they rolled him up like 20 times, but and none of them worked. So anyway, they're 1 fall apiece. And then what a great third fall. I mean, just time in. When Luke, I believe it was Luke Harper, or no, it was Eric Rowan. I believe it was Eric Rowan that kicked out of this frog splash. When they kicked out, I was like, good night. Will the Wyatts actually win tonight? And that's the whole point, is to make you believe, even though you're pretty sure who's going to win. The whole point of a match is to, and at least in today's era, is to make you believe that maybe the other team will win. That, you know, when anything is possible in the WWE. So, without a doubt, match of the night. Best match of the night. Best match. One of the best matches I've seen all year. I mean, this is, with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk gone, it's really a hard place to fill with great matches. And the Usos and the Wyatts, without a doubt, did it. That was a phenomenal match that I really don't think can ever be duplicated. I think they need to end that rivalry on that match, without a doubt, because it was such a tremendous match. Moving on here, the second match of the night was AJ Lee versus Paige. This was a Divas match, you know, nobody expects anything hardly but the Divas. I am looking fondly at the Divas division right now, because I think it's getting kind of hot again. I think, you know, with Natalya still being there, Naomi and Cameron finally split up, and you've got Alicia Fox is Alicia Fox, nothing against her, but they've kind of dropped that crazy gimmick again with her. I was actually entertaining for a little while with her, but AJ Lee and Paige, without a doubt, are going to be the two top divas of the Divas division. And Charlotte, I see Charlotte making a huge impact. So, it was a really good match for a Divas match. It was very, very well done. Paige is obviously very talented. She does need a few more years of experience to get, you know, that confidence in her. I feel like she's not 100% confident. I know she's confident, but I think she knows that she's still so green. And when she gets less green, she'll be even better than ever. And AJ is, of course, on top of the world right now. She is absolutely great as a face. She made a marvelous heel, but she's a great face. The people are over with her. The people love her to death. And it's really cool to see her on top of the world right now, yet again. Wouldn't surprise me if they beat her reign. I was talking with last night, and I was thinking, you know, if they really wanted to tick Punk off, why not have AJ Lee hold the Divas title for 435 days? Now that is an interesting topic right there that probably should not be discussed. And but that would be interesting, wouldn't it? So anyway, AJ beat Paige. It was interesting how Paige got out of the Black Widow. That was impressive. Because not a whole lot of people have gotten out of the Black Widow. I do believe Natalya got out of the Black Widow at TLC, the event which I was at, which is probably why I remember it. But I remember that was an above-average Divas match as well. AJ can bring the best out of anybody, and Paige is a phenomenal wrestler. Paige had great matches with Oksana back when she was around, and Alicia Fox. So, I mean, that's true talent right there. And then we go into the hot angle. Now, I wanted to discuss the airplane gimmick. Now, Lana came out. She's been getting a lot of heat lately with the whole Russian, you know, supporting Vladimir Putin and all that. Here's my take on it. WWE is entertainment, but I mean, some people are saying it's too soon. I don't think something like that should ever be done. I mean, I know, and I love it when a heel goes 100% full way. And obviously, Lana's in this the full way. It's obvious to me that she will probably never be a face, because I don't think at this point anybody will ever forget this. But, you know, this is pro wrestling. You know, I was, to tell you the truth, I did not pay attention much to the promo because it was me and my mother sitting around, and we were watching it together. We like to watch the pay-per-views together. And we were sitting and watching the pay-per-view, and I had turned the volume down. I didn't mute it, but I turned it down because I didn't really want to listen to it. And that's no disrespect to Lana, but, you know, and who is an absolutely gorgeous woman. But it's just one of those things where, you know, I didn't really care about what she said. But then all of a sudden I hear all this heat on the internet. And then TMZ was reporting it, and Washington Post put an article out and all that. And it's like, man, what in the world did she say? But come to find out, she did the whole airplane thing, which was not really a good idea with the company. I mean, the company right now is not necessarily in the best way. The last thing they really need is real heat. But it is wrestling. They are meant to get a reaction out of the crowd. So, and that's exactly what they did. So, it is interesting that they did that, considering WWE tries not to get real heat anymore. It seems like the heels can't get real heat because WWE wants to stay out of trouble. I mean, you know, Lana's doing a really great job. I mean, without her, this Rusev character would not be near as over. Lana is very impressive. And she's doing a great job. I mean, obviously, she's not afraid to get that extra heat. And it kind of reminds me of when Sergeant Slaughter went over to went with Iron Sheik, you know, and joined that whole faction. That was pretty rough. It's the same thing, only, you know, with this whole gimmick. So I wanted to address that. I try not to get too flustered up about things, but that does seem a little bit too much. Since so many people died on it. And I just don't think it was the right move. Now, that may just be me personally. I try not to take it seriously, but something like that is really serious. But hey, that's the whole point. As Eric Bischoff said, controversy creates cash. In some ways, I think there's sometimes just a little bit too much controversy. So anyway, Rusev and Swagger went one-on-one, and Rusev ended up beating Swagger by count-out, which is a good way to do it. If they plan to promote Swagger as a face, then they made the really right decision. Rusev is obviously looking stronger and stronger, still undefeated, even though a couple of his matches have ended by disqualification and count-out. And he was technically beat by Roman Reigns because Randy Orton came in and RKO'd him a few months ago on SmackDown. So technically Roman Reigns won by disqualification, but of course WWE's not going to mention that. But anyway, the main point is that Rusev has never been pinned to the mat. So, and Swagger getting beat by countout because he got thrown into the side of the ring, it's okay. You know, like I say, that's another reason why this is a B-rated pay-per-view, is because the rivalries are really just going to last until SummerSlam. Now, I did want to mention real quick Dean and Seth Rollins. Now, the Dean and Seth Rollins segments, to me, the few good things about the show was the Usos and the Wyatts match that stole the show, and then the Dean and the Seth segments. Those were great segments. And when they were in the backstage area and Triple H pretty much canceled the match, I was disappointed. But I was interested to see what they were going to do next, because I thought that meant Seth Rollins was going to cash in, because I thought Dean was really going to leave, and that would leave Seth open. He just got a little beat up. So we go in, and then Dean Ambrose beats the living crap out of Seth, gets thrown out, and then we go, and then Seth comes out, he wants a forfeit win, he gets it, and then Dean Ambrose comes from behind, attacks him, and they do that wonderful segment. It was absolutely well done because of Dean Ambrose, and it went on for 10 minutes, and then when Triple H came out, it got more interesting. And just doing all this crazy stuff, just fighting, cussing, going all over the place, and Dean making those hilarious faces. Both of them guys are just going to be, I can already tell, they're going to be future Hall of Famers if they make the right decisions. And so then we did the whole parking lot scene where Dean came out of the trunk. And I think it went on, I mean, when Seth turned around, I think it was like 30 seconds, and it was a long 30 seconds. I was like, what is he staring at? I thought maybe he's staring at Dean Ambrose or something. Maybe Dean Ambrose had a gang with him or something. I don't know. But then Dean finally came out of the trunk. That was the only little nitpicking thing, because it felt like I think Dean Ambrose wasn't able to tell when to come out, and it seemed like it was delayed a little bit long. But so it happened. And Dean Ambrose came back and knocked Seth Rollins down, or tried to hit him with a crowbar, and they wrestled on the car for a little bit until Seth Rollins took off, and then Dean was still out in the parking lot. So it was a very, very entertaining segment. And that'll just generate more interest to the real match, which obviously will happen at SummerSlam with obviously a stipulation. I don't see the two of them just having a normal match. I see the two of them having a very, like a street fight or a falls count anywhere or anything like that. Something like that happening at SummerSlam. I was wrong on a few things, but I was mostly right. Obviously, I thought Dean and Seth was going to steal the show, but I think it was the right business move in the long run to help promote their match until SummerSlam, because they've had a really good rivalry so far with just never having that one-on-one match, but always fighting and clawing at each other, and it's really, really, they've really done a well-done job with this fight, and I can't wait to see them go one-on-one, and that's the whole point. And we'll get that, and obviously, hopefully they'll steal the show, which I think they obviously will. All right, moving on to kind of a disappointing match, Jericho versus Bray Wyatt. Now, this match, I mean, some people are happy with it, some people are very disgusted with it. I'm not very disgusted with it, I'm just kind of like, why? I really thought that there was going to be double count out or double disqualification with this match to further promote to SummerSlam. But when I saw that Rusev and Swagger had pretty much ended on a count out, I thought, well, surely they're not going to do it twice in one night. So, but it ended up that flat out of nowhere, Bray pretty much dominated the match. I mean, from what I remember, Bray dominated that whole match almost. And then from out of nowhere, Jericho did the Codebreaker 1, 2, and 3. And that was it. I was like, what? No kick out? No further of the match? I mean, it was about a 15-minute match, but the crowd was kind of dead. The crowd was kind of dead, and I mean, not extremely dead. I mean, it wasn't like dead silent. They were making noise, but I don't know. It was so weird. It was just like, that was it. One match, and then it was like a normal Raw match. You know, that could have been a main event of Raw or something, but then Jericho just all of a sudden beats Bray Wyatt clean and straight. So now it seems that Bray is either not going to be promoted like he has been or something. Bray's got a nasty black eye right now. Goodness gracious, he had a black eye. The internet says that he got it from Ric Flair at a live event. So, you know, I mean, who better to get a scar from than Ric Flair? I don't think it'll leave a scar, but I don't know if it was the right choice. I mean, Jericho said on his podcast that he has laid the whole plan out to Triple H. So that was interesting. So it's pretty much ended. Bray Wyatt and Jericho. I'm interested to see what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw because I do see the two of them fighting again, but I don't get it. I don't understand why. I mean, that's the greatness of Jericho, is that he's able to make these interesting storylines, but I don't get it. I mean, that's not really the right thing to do, in my opinion, so far. Now, I'm waiting to see what the long-term effect, what's going to happen. So, I'm interested to see. The fact that Jericho beat Bray, that's real weird, interesting, and it could have been a terrible choice, but it might be the best choice depending on the situation. And I will say this about the pay-per-view before I get to the Battle Royal that disgusts me. They had a lot of filling segments. It seemed they were promoting the network while we were watching it on the network. I mean, they canceled all their pay-per-views. I don't know if can anybody get pay-per-views anymore for WWE? I just thought that it's strictly on the network now, but maybe not. I hope that people can get pay-per-views still who don't want to do the network for some weird reason. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a wrestling mark, even if you're just a casual fan, $9.99 a month for all the content that they have. I mean, you're getting $9.99 a month for all the pay-per-views live. And the feed worked fine for me. It did get a little bit fuzzy at some points, but that's to pretty much be expected when you watch something live on the internet with hundreds of thousands of people watching it at one time. But yeah, it was, $9.99 a month for even the pay-per-views alone is worth it. Because to tell you the truth, as hardcore of a mark as I am, I was not paying $60 for every single pay-per-view. Because not all the pay-per-views were worth $60 a month. Now, I'm glad I don't have to pay $60 because I certainly wouldn't have wanted to pay $60 for Battleground. I mean, it was not worth $60. It wasn't worth $9.99? Of course. Of course it was. I mean, I don't even care about the pay-per-view quality anymore because I know that I'm going to get one every single month. I do want good quality pay-per-views, of course. You know, I want rivalries to be ended and things to change and interesting stuff to happen and shocking things, of course. But, you know, I'm so thrilled with the fact that I get it for $9.99 a month. It's like, man, I mean, you know, I'm just happy to watch pay-per-view. And so moving on, before I plug the network anymore. So we go to the Battle Royal for the Intercontinental title. Now, just what in the world happened? Now, I will say this truthfully. I'm not trying to make myself sound smart, but I was thinking before the match started, about the time the match started, it was a cool thing with Wade Barrett being able to come out. That was cool. He deserved that. I don't know. I just don't know what to say about it. I'll just go on with it. The Battle Royal, it was a decent Battle Royal. I thought it was a very well done Battle Royal because Battle Royals are usually, you know, they're so clustered. It's hard to tell who's doing what, what's going on. But this one was really well done, I thought. I thought it was very well done, very organized. Kofi Kingston, of course, stole the match away from everybody. And what the big shockeroo there was when Cesaro got eliminated by Heath Slater. I mean, what a shockeroo there. That was a bigger shock than Damian Sandow not being the first one eliminated. The first one eliminated was Xavier Woods, and then it was Zack Ryder. Oh, poor Zack. Xavier Woods got eliminated, Zack Ryder got eliminated, then it was Great Khali, and then so on and so forth. I'm not going to remember everybody. Here's the thing. Here's the problem I had with the match was that the camera shot an angle during the match where you could very easily see The Miz on the outside of the ring. It was clear as day. He was laying right there on the ring, you know, being the wimpy heel, which is a great way to build heat, especially for a guy like Miz, who a lot of people don't think deserves to be there. And, you know, that's fine and Danny, that's a different subject, but, you know, The Miz, you know, he laid around and waited till all throughout the match. Throughout the entire match, he pretty much laid around. I think he made one little comeback in there, but, I mean, other than that, and then we went down from Ziggler to Sheamus, and the thing is Miz has done this before. Miz has done this before. I mean, I know in wrestling period they've done it before. I would do it if I was a wrestler. But Miz has done this exact same thing before. It's not like it's a brand new deal. But so we go through the match, and Cesaro gets eliminated by Slater. Kofi lands on Big E's shoulders, which was absolutely impressive. And just so many different ends and things. And Ziggler, what an awesome thing by him. Ziggler, who got the biggest pop of the night by far in that Battle Royal. Ziggler beats Sheamus. Sheamus gets eliminated. Ziggler wins. Everybody pops huge because they think Dolph Ziggler, who rightfully deserves it, won the Battle Royal. Then all of a sudden, Miz comes from out of nowhere and eliminates Dolph Ziggler. And then somebody, this is the first time in a long time anybody's thrown trash at a wrestler at a WWE event. Somebody threw trash at Miz, and that's when you know you got a real heat angle. You got the look on Ziggler's face, and it's just like, man, just push Dolph effing Ziggler, you know? Oh, it's just so beyond aggravating with me. Poor old Ziggler. I mean, I know it's just the Intercontinental title that really doesn't mean anything anymore. I mean, but here's the thing that I was thinking about before the match. Is Miz and Sheamus are probably going to do an angle because Miz did pick up a random victory against Sheamus on Monday Night Raw. So if they're going to do a Sheamus and Miz rivalry, Sheamus has the U.S. title, Miz has the Intercontinental. Obvious unification match at SummerSlam. If that is the plan, I am happy. So that can ease my pain as long as Dolph Ziggler has some sort of match. Not a battle royal, just some one-on-one match at SummerSlam. That way, it's Miz versus Sheamus at SummerSlam for the unification match. Miz will probably win that one too, since Vince McMahon loves him to death for some reason. Personally, I love The Miz. As a wrestler, he is a great heel. Terrible face, but a great heel. You know, because he's so easily hateable as a wrestling character. And nothing against him personally. Personally, he's one of the nicest human beings on the planet. He absolutely overjoyed with the business, loves that he's there, and just, it's great to see somebody who loves wrestling that much and is willing to go through everything like that does deserve to be there. Does he deserve the Intercontinental Championship 3 times? Probably not. But it was a great heat angle. I love when I feel that real heated anger towards wrestling in the way that you're supposed to be. Because that's what true pro wrestling is. You're supposed to hate the guy that's a heel. You're supposed to love the guy that's a face. You're supposed to cheer for the face and boo the heel. That is pro wrestling to the max. That is it. Not the new generation where everybody's cheering the heel and booing the face. And, you know, that's fine and dandy. I don't care about that. But that's the basics of pro wrestling in the old days. And I love feeling that old generated heat towards a heel and having that overall compassion for the face of Dolph Ziggler. But WWE's got to start using Dolph because he is getting huge crowd reactions. He's getting some of the biggest pops of the night. And with Daniel Bryan gone and CM Punk quitting, I mean, not that the company revolved around them, but they did have a huge spot. That's two big spots to fill. And Dolph Ziggler could really fill that spot. He's very talented. And even if he's a jerk in the back, get over it. CM Punk was a jerk in the back to many people. You know, from what other people said, I don't know. I don't personally know him. But, yeah, use Dolph Ziggler. Don't bash him down like you are Fandango. Use Dolph Ziggler because he is that freaking good. I will pay money. WWE, if you are listening, I will pay big bucks to watch Dolph Ziggler wrestle. I don't even care who Dolph Ziggler fights. I just want to see Dolph Ziggler win and see him. I want to see him become world champion again. For real. Not get a concussion from Jack Swagger. Leave for 2 months and then come back and immediately have it taken away from him by Alberto Del Rio, who's had it way too many times to me. Okay, so we go to the main event. John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Sheamus, or not Sheamus. I'm still thinking of the Intercontinental Battle Royal because it got me so mad. John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Kane versus Randy Orton. Here's the first thing I want to point out. When they are announcing the names, they announce Randy Orton, who gets a boo and a cheer from the women, of course. They go to Kane, and Kane gets a zero reaction. When you go back and you play it, if you ever play that pay-per-view again, I wouldn't blame you if you don't, except for the first match. But when you hear that reaction, there is no reaction for Kane. He got like two or three, you know, whatever. It's like, wow. That is horrible. I mean, I love Kane to death, but brother, I think it's time to put up the boots. When you hear something, when you don't hear anything, that's when you know you're done. And Kane can still hang with him, but I just don't think the people are investing in him anymore. I think it's time for him to ride off into the sunset. And maybe with him turning against Randy Orton, maybe that'll be the angle that they shoot for this upcoming Raw. And maybe. The match itself was a good Fatal 4-Way. It was, you know, another Fatal 4-Way. It wasn't the best, wasn't the worst. Of course, John Cena retains, which I had thought all along. That's the problem with the match, is that I knew so strongly that Cena was going to win that all the hot angles they did, I had never got invested into it because I knew Cena was going to win. Not because he's Super Cena, you know, supposedly, but because it's just Roman's not ready. I discussed in my previous episode, Roman's not ready. Kane, nobody wants to see that again, even though he does deserve it. And Randy Orton, I just don't see Randy Orton holding the title again for a while. Unless John Cena got injured. Or gets injured. So Cena does the AA on top of the body. He does a AA with Randy Orton on top of Kane, which he's done many times before. 1, 2, and 3 on Kane. And but I will say this, the one thing that they accomplished, I think they accomplished Cena looking good, you know, retaining the title, but the number one thing they accomplished was making Roman Reigns look like an absolute beast. He looked absolutely impressive. When he did those three drop kicks to the face, you know, with Cena and then Orton on the table and then Kane, he was an absolute beast in that match. He did a very impressive job. And when he first came in, he really wasn't that good. But man, look at him now. He is absolutely impressive. He's still got a long way to go, but he is doing a phenomenal job. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to watch Monday Night Raw tonight. It's coming on in another couple of minutes. So I'm going to wrap this show up. Thank you so much for downloading. We'll see what happens at SummerSlam. Maybe it's completely different. I see Bray Wyatt and Jericho going at it again, because I don't think that rivalry's done, even though the match ended like it was. Cena will fight whoever, probably Brock Lesnar. Dean is obviously going against Seth, and Roman will, I see maybe Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. If Roman Reigns can beat Randy Orton one-on-one, that'll really cement him as a top guy. So that's some of the top matches. And Sheamus versus Miz unifying the U.S. and Intercontinental title. And hopefully they'll do something with Dolph Ziggler, who really needs something. He needs a good rivalry. He needs a hot angle. And Rusev versus Swagger again in some kind of a match. I don't know what, but we'll see him in some kind of a match. So I'll catch you guys on this side or the other. But really, who even cares anymore? Thank you guys for listening.